Marriott is mounting a challenge to home sharing company Airbnb.
What we do know is that Airbnb barely existed 10 years ago, and today their website claims they have 6 million listings. So clearly they're taking some bite out of the hotel business.
Plus, investigators establish a direct link between ISIS and the attacks in Sri Lanka. And Boeing's CEO defends the development of the 737 MAX. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we get to our main story on Marriott's challenge to Airbnb, here are some other top stories we're following. Investigators say at least one suicide bomber in the Easter attacks in Sri Lanka had trained with Islamic State in Syria. The Wall Street Journal reports it's the first direct link between the terror group and the attacks. Islamic State has claimed responsibility for the attacks, which killed more than 250 people. The group also released a video on Monday that purports to show its leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who praised the attackers in Sri Lanka. For more, head to WSJ.com or the WSJ app. At a shareholders meeting on Monday, Boeing CEO Dennis Muilenburg said the company followed well-tried processes to design and secure regulatory approval for a flight control system known as MCAS on its 737 MAX jets, which it had reaffirmed even after two fatal accidents. Muilenburg said the airplane's development was not rushed and that it was, quote, thorough and it was disciplined. The MCAS has been implicated in the two MAX crashes in Indonesia and Ethiopia that have led to a worldwide grounding of the aircraft. At Monday's meeting, shareholders rejected a proposal for an independent chairman for the company. Measles cases have reached a 25-year high in the U.S. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Monday that there are now at least 704 cases in 22 states since the start of the year, the largest since 1994. Federal officials say they're concerned about further spread if current outbreaks, including the one in New York City that began last October, aren't brought under control. Officials say an outbreak in Washington that sickened 72 people is now over. The CDC has issued travel recommendations amid the outbreak. Health officials say infants between 6 and 11 months should get one dose of the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine before traveling, while those 1 year or older should get two doses. Adolescents and adults who haven't had measles or been vaccinated should also get two doses before traveling. Pharmaceutical company Roche, known for its top-selling cancer drugs, is facing new challenges from competitors. The Wall Street Journal's Denise Rowland explains.
For about the last 20 years, Roche has been this huge cancer company. It all started with this franchise of breast cancer drugs that they've developed. They've been top of the league table since 2002, with three massive drugs called Herceptin, Avastin, and Rituxan. All three of those drugs over the next couple of years are going to start facing competition from lower cost copies. They're kind of like generic drugs, but for biologic drugs. They're a little bit more complicated, but it's the same idea. Cheaper versions come along, doctors eventually switch over to those, and you lose sales of your top selling drugs.
Roland says Roche is still confident amid new competition and advances in cancer science, including the growing development of immunotherapies to treat cancer.
They say they're very confident in what they've invested in. They say the market is getting crowded, but they think that they've got the smarts and the insight to make the right decisions and the right calls. Regardless, they will certainly lose their number one position in the next few years. Part of that is because there's been a massive merger between Bristol-Myers Squibb and Celgene, who together will very quickly overtake Roche's sales. But they're also facing much more competition from a bunch of their rivals that historically had no interest in cancer.
Market research firm Evaluate Pharma projects that revenue from Roche's cancer franchise will fall 12% over the next 6 years as the cancer market nearly doubles in size. Marriott is the first major hotel chain to mount a formal challenge to home sharing company Airbnb by creating its own home rental platform. Joining me now in our studio with more details is Wall Street Journal Real Estate Bureau Chief Craig Carman. Craig, what can you tell us about what Marriott's platform will look like? You spoke to people who said it will build on the success of a similar move in Europe.
Yeah, very few people outside of Marriott know exactly what the platform is going to look like, what cities it will be in, and how quickly they'll roll it out. But people in the industry say it will resemble the pilot program that they rolled out recently in Europe, starting in London, and they added Rome, Paris, and Lisbon. In this product, they were working with a property manager in Europe who was working with them to rent out single-family homes or other homes over there and attracting a different type of guest than normally comes to a Marriott hotel in Europe. These guests were staying longer. A Marriott press release from last year said they stayed twice as long as a typical hotel guest. And they were typically guests who wanted more space, laundry facilities, kitchens for these longer stays. And they were finding that these guests also, however, wanted the security and some of the assurances and services you get from a hotel that you don't always get when you're going through a home rental company. And I think they believe they found a sweet spot in a product that was backed by Marriott with 24/7 service and security, but will offer bigger residences and longer stays than the typical hotel guest could get at a Marriott property.
And this is a huge market to get into as well. How big of a hit are traditional hotel chains like Marriott taking from companies like Airbnb?
Yeah, it's really hard to know. But what we do know is that Airbnb barely existed 10 years ago, and today their website claims they have 6 million listings. So clearly they're taking some bite out of the hotel business. Now, hotels still get 65-70% of their business from corporate travelers who tend to spend more, travel more frequently, visit the bar and restaurant more often. And I think as a result, they were a little slow to see the coming attack from Airbnb, which was focused primarily on big families in the leisure market. More recently, Airbnb has made some strides into attracting business travelers, and I think that set off some alarm bells in the hotel world. And they are now trying to get a slice of this market, which really they have an advantage in that they can offer loyalty points for people who stay at their rooms in a way that Airbnb is not.
And are there other major hotel chains exploring moves like Marriott is making at this point?
I think every hotel chain is studying it to some degree, every major hotel chain. I don't think anyone is as far down the line as Marriott. Hilton, I think, has looked at it, decided for the moment it's not the right business for them, but has not ruled out going in at a future date. Hyatt took a stake in a company called One Fine Stay, which is kind of like an upscale Airbnb focused only on very, you know, prominent residences that will charge a lot of money. They ended up selling that stake to Accor, which is a giant European hotel company, and it's not clear how much success it's had with that. In fact, last year it said it was turning in a negative performance. And I know the other ones have looked at it too, but I think they're all sort of waiting to see who goes first. And maybe after Marriott goes, it'll break a logjam and you'll see the others want to scamper into this business.
As you point out in your piece for The Wall Street Journal, at the same time, we're seeing home share companies, including Airbnb, moving into the traditional hotel space more and more.
That's right. And I think it's inevitable. I think, you know, right now you have home rental companies, and you have hotel companies. And I think, you know, years from now, you'll just have lodging companies that are in each other's businesses. And I think Airbnb is particularly keen to offer more hotel-like products. They recently bought a company called Hotel Tonight, which is a phone app that offers discounted hotel rates for near-term bookings. They recently took a stake in a big Indian hotel company called Oyo. And as the Wall Street Journal reported yesterday, they reached a deal with a New York developer to list residential overnight stays at prominent commercial buildings in New York City, including the first one, which will be a tower at Rockefeller Center.
As you've said, Airbnb is dominating the home rental market, but it's also facing some legal challenges in areas, including New York City, that are trying to check its growth. Overall, how is Airbnb positioned for a potential and expected IPO next year?
Well, I think one of the things they do want to do is diversify ahead of that IPO and show that they're not just a home listing platform, but they have other relationships, other partnerships, offer other type of lodging, other type of services. That recent hookup with RXR, the New York developer who is going to offer the Rockefeller Center rentals with them, is very important because they've sort of hit a bit of a rut in New York City with a lot of politicians now trying to crack down on what they say are illegal hotel stays when Airbnb hosts rent out their rooms in buildings where it's not zoned for that and for ways that run afoul of the law. So I think they realize that they have to come up with new products and diversify ahead of this IPO. And I think the IPO itself is really what's driving the convergence between the hotel companies and the home rental companies, which also includes HomeAway. I think you can put Booking.com in that list too. Airbnb, I think, is counting on an IPO really helping solidify its position in this market, and the hotel companies really want to get moving in this business before Airbnb is able to do that.
That's Wall Street Journal Real Estate Bureau Chief Craig Carman joining us in our studio in New York. Craig, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now, onto some more headlines from the Wall Street Journal. The Federal Reserve begins its two-day policy meeting on Tuesday. The central bank is expected to continue holding interest rates steady, as it has since the beginning of the year. Wall Street Journal reporter Nick Timiraos has more details on what observers will be tuning into.
We'll be listening for where the bar is to raise interest rates, but also where is the bar for the Fed to cut interest rates? That's not something that too many people have focused on up until now. But because inflation readings have been softer than the Fed expected, the core inflation measure, which excludes food and energy categories, for March was reported on Monday at 1.6%. Now, that's down from 1.8% in January, from 2% in December, and the Fed has a 2% target. So with inflation moving away from its target, it's leading a few officials to say, hey, wait a minute, this isn't going in the right direction. You know, we're fine waiting to see how the economy unfolds. But if inflation were to fall even lower and to stay there for longer, it might put a rate cut on the table. So that'll be one thing I think people will be listening for from Jerome Powell. The main story for the Fed is that they paused interest rates in the first quarter. They said, okay, we're done. We raised interest rates every quarter last year. We're done doing that because we want to see how all of this financial market volatility at the end of 2018, the slowdown in Europe, how did that hit the U.S.? And it turns out U.S. growth in the first quarter was solid. And so the recession fears have really faded. And in fact, the stock market is close to new records. But inflation is the fly in the ointment, and so that's what's getting a lot of attention right now at this meeting.
The central bank concludes its meeting on Wednesday, the first day of the new month. Anadarko is set to resume talks with Occidental after the company made a $38 billion bid to acquire Anadarko. Anadarko had already agreed to be acquired by Chevron for $33 billion. Both Occidental and Chevron are interested in Anadarko's footprint in the Permian Basin in West Texas and New Mexico. Occidental said it has been in talks with Anadarko for nearly 2 years and made several offers before the Chevron announcement earlier this month. And finally, some fitness centers are struggling to regulate smartphone etiquette at the gym. Many use social media to help grow their brands, but they also have to balance that with the wishes of their members. The Wall Street Journal has come up with some smartphone etiquette for the gym, including no FaceTime or Skype in the locker room and no camping out on equipment by staring at your phone. Do you have any smartphone etiquette for the gym? Let us know by tweeting us at WSJ Podcast or emailing us at What's News, all one word, at WSJ.com. That's What's News for Monday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.